Today's daf is Yevamos daf Pei Gimel. We are holding in the last two words of daf Pei Beis Amud Beis. Today's daf is the last daf, the last full daf of the eighth parak of Maseches Yevamos. On Amud Aleph, we're going to discuss four different cases of Shitas Rabbi Yossi that are really not so related to each other in terms of the halachos that are discussed, but are related in terms of whether we paskin like Rabbi Yossi, who joins Rabbi Yossi in his psak, and it all starts because Rabbi Yossi had what to say in our Mishnah and something else to say in our Braisa with regard to Esrus Chama. That Rabbi Yossi with regard to an androgynous, that an androgynous can be machil his wife in Truma. That was the Shita of Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon. So that's going to lead us into three other cases where Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon seem to agree. And then on Amud Beis, we're going to talk about whether a tumtum has a din of a sris, and what kind of sris, if he does, and what kind of bia one is chayiv on if one has bia with an androgynous. So let us begin now at the bottom of the daf, Pei Beis Amud Beis, at Amar Rav. So actually, today's shir, I think, is sponsored by Davi and Tova Kupfer as well. We thank them very much for the sponsorship over the past few days. Okay, last two words on the page on Pei Beis Amud Beis. Amar Rav, lesson masnisin mekame brisa, that we should reject the shita of Rabbi Yossi in our Mishnah in favor of the shita of Rabbi Yossi as it's recorded in a brisa. Rabbi Yossi in our Mishnah had said that an androgynous could be machil his wife in truma. If an androgynous is a kohen and he gets married, his wife is allowed to eat truma. We reject that in favor of Rabbi Yossi of the brisa. The Tanya, because we have a brisa, Rabbi Yossi Omer, androgynous bariyah b'fnei atzmi v'lo chriba chamim im zacharim nekeva, because Rabbi Yossi says an androgynous is a bariyah b'fnei atzma, and the chacham were never mechriah whether it's a zachar in a cave. If you hold that he's able to be machil his wife truma, that's like saying that he's a zachar vadai. So in the brisa, he apparently changed his mind and he held that he's not a zachar vadai. That the chacham aren't sure that he's a beri b'fnei atzma and they weren't mechriah. Now exactly what that means, that he's a beri b'fnei atzma, is a machlokas rishonim, many different shitos. What it means exactly to be a beri b'fnei atzma. Tosos and Dibra Maschel Beria in the name of the Ri and in Nidon Daf Chav Ches says that it doesn't mean that he's neither a Zachar nor a Nekeva, rather he's some Min Shlishi, that he's some sort of third gender. Rather it means it's a Safek, that Lo Chriba Chamim Zachar Nekeva, means to say that this isn't a local Safek about this androgynous, whether he's a Zachar or Nekeva, like you have by a Tumtum, where you just don't know, you just don't have enough evidence to know what this particular Tumtum is, but some Tumtums can be a man, some could be a woman, and we just have to investigate each one. The Ritva explains that since we know what his surah is, we just don't know what his din is, we know what his physical makeup is, we just don't know what his halach is, that's why we call him a beria. But really, it's a suffix. The Ramban, however, explains Rabbi Yossi that he's a beria chadasha, that he's not really a suffix. It's a beria b'fnei atzma, always means to say that it's not a suffix, that we know exactly what it is. The Ramban proves this from the fact that Rav paskins like Rabbi Yossi of the Braisa, that he's a beria b'fnei atzma, and nevertheless, Rav on Amud Beis is going to say that you're chayv skila when one sleeps with an androgynous mishnei mekamos, whether you sleep with his zachrus or with his nakvus, you're chayv skila. But if an androgynous is a suffik, how could one be chayv skila on a suffik? Maybe he's in a keva. So why would a man who sleeps with an androgynous be chayv skila? So from a suffik can't be chayv a person skila. So what we have to say is that he's a beria. He's not a zachar. He's not in the keva. And when we say lo v'chriyu b'chacham, it means we don't know. We were not machriya what min he is, because he has both simani zachar and simani nekeva, and that's why they made him a min shlishi, because we can't properly fit him into either category of gender, into male or female. So it doesn't say lo hikirubo, lo hichriubo. It says that it's that he's treated like a suffix. Then there's the shita of the Rash on the Mishnayis Maseches Bikurim, where he says that he has the androgynous has shalosh svekos. He may be a zachar, he may be in a keva, or he may be a min shlishi. When we say he's beri b'vnatz, it means it's possible that he's beri b'vnatz. It's also possible that he's male, it's also possible that he's a female. It turns out in the Masifta over here, he summarizes that there are six shitos in Rishonim in terms of la halacha, how we would treat an androgynous. Rashi and Tosfos hold that an androgynous is a zachar vadai. The Rif and the la halacha. The Rif and other Rishonim hold that an androgynous is safik zachar safik nekeva. Ramban, that it's a beri b'fnei atzma, it's a third gender. The Rash, that it's a safik that has three tzadim, zachar, nekeva, or beri b'fnei atzma. The Ravid holds in Hilchas Shofar and Hilchas Trumos that he's chatzi zachar v'chatzi nekeva, similar to how we have chatzi yevet, chatzi ben chorin in terms of status. So in terms of gender, you can have someone who's chatzi zachar, chatzi nekeva. And finally, the Marit al Gazi is mechadesh that there are two types of androgynous. Some are very b'fnei atzma, and some are a safik zachar, safik nekeva. So it's a very confusing area of halacha in terms of defining what exactly he is. But what Rav is teaching us is that we can forget what Rabbi Yossi says in the Mishnah in favor of what Rabbi Yossi says in the Braisa, that he's a Beri b'fnei atzma, not like the Mishnah implies that he is a Zachar Vadai. Says the Gemara, whenever you have a Braisa that conflicts with the Mishnah, is that the way to go to say that we favor the Braisa over the Mishnah? Adarabba, less of the Braisa, Mekami Masnisin. The more normal way to approach a stira between a Braisa and a Mishnah is say that a Mishnah is more authoritative than a Braisa. Says Gemara, Midishavki Rabbi Yossi Lebarzuge Shema Mina Hadarbe. From the fact that Rabbi Yossi left aside Shitas Rabbi Shimon and went out on his own, so we see he must have changed his mind. Meaning, in the Mishnah, it wasn't Rabbi Yossi speaking alone. It was Rabbi Yossi speaking together with Rabbi Shimon, that an androgynous Kohen who marries a woman, the woman's allowed to eat Truma. In the Braisa, Rabbi Yossi speaking alone. So you see from there that he must have changed his mind. You see, normally when we have a steer between a Mishnah and a Braisa, it's a machlokas what the person said. It's a machlokas tanaim. Did Rabbi Yossi say this as he's recorded in the Mishnah, or did Rabbi Yossi as he's recorded in the Braisa? That is not what's happening over here. From the fact that Rabbi Yossi is not, if that's what were happening, then he would be recorded together with Rabbi Shimon in both places. The fact that in the Mishnah he's together with Rabbi Shimon and the Braisa he's all alone tells you that at some point he changed his mind. That it's not just a machlokas as to what he really held. That he must have changed his mind in terms of what he held. Now, that tells you that he changed his mind. Tosfos points out that Tema, Dilma Hadabe Mibraisa, the Gabi Rabbi Shimon de Masnisin. How do you know that he changed his mind in that direction? That he changed his mind from what he said in the Mishnah and then went with what it says in the Braisa? Maybe he changed his mind in the other direction. And he, in fact, really holds like Rabbi Shimon, like it says in the Mishnah. So that's difficult. That's what Tosfos leaves it as a kasha. But that's all Rav Shita. Rav Shita is that the Rabbi Yossi of the Braisa is the one that's more authoritative because that reflects his later opinion after he changed his mind. Shmuel Amar, less of the Braisa Mekami Masnisin. Shmuel says, no, we could forget the Braisa. It's the Mishnah that's the more authoritative Rabbi Yossi, that the androgynous really does have a din of a Zachar, and therefore he's able to be Machil, his wife, Truma. Frankly, Gemara Adraba, less of the Masnisin Mekami Braisa, the Shamin and the Shmuel, the Chayish Lichida, we find that Shmuel is Choshesh for a Das Yachid, so why over here would Shmuel all of a sudden not be Choshesh for the Das Yachid? Meaning, granted, in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi has some help, he has a partner, but and the Braisa is all alone, but Shmuel himself holds that we're Choshesh for a Das Yachid, so why would Shmuel say to forget Rabbi Yossi of the Braisa? Says Gemara, Hanimili Kilo Masakar Masnisin, Avokim Masakar Masnisin Lo Chayish. Yes, Shmuel is normally Choshesh for a Das Yachid when it doesn't go against the Mishnah, but when he's going right up against the Mishnah, then Shmuel would not be Choshesh for the Das Yachid. Says Tosos, even though it's true there are many Mishnayos that hold that an androgynous is a Safek, not all the Mishnayos hold like our Mishnah. There are lots of other Mishnayos throughout Shas that hold that an androgynous is a Safek, but those Mishnayos aren't speaking within Rabbi Yossi. The only statement in the Mishnah about what Rabbi Yossi holds about an androgynous is our Mishnah. So Tosos then points out, but nevertheless, Shmuel himself, the Gemara is going to be Medayik later on, that Shmuel himself holds that an androgynous is a Zachar, even though there are many Mishnayos that hold that it's a Safek. Shmuel himself does hold, like Rabbi Yossi, and like his understanding of Rabbi Yossi, that the Mishnah's version of Rabbi Yossi is the more correct version of Rabbi Yossi. Now, it's interesting that we say that because Shmuel holds that we're Chayish Lichida'a, the Gemara assumed that would be enough reason for Shmuel to have to paskin like the Braisa, where Rabbi Yossi is a Das Yachid. Rashi explains, because once we find that Shmuel holds Halacha Kiyichida'a in a place where that's where he's Machmer L'Rabim, so the same would apply over here. The Ritva asks, what do you mean? Is every single halacha the same? Just because he holds like a das yachid in one machlokas means he has to hold like a das yachid in every machlokas? We don't find that Shmuel holds like this das yachid elsewhere. We find that he holds like a das yachid. So why would we assume that we're going to follow Das Yachid in the Braisa against the Mishnah. So the Ritva suggests that the Kasha of the Gemara is that we find that where it's Mistavrit Taimo Shal HaYachid, that Shmuel will follow the Yachid. That where his logic makes sense, Shmuel passes like him. So in Androgynous, it's more Mistaver to say like Rabbi Yossi of the Braisa, meaning more Mistaver than to say we have certainty that the Androgynous is a male. It's much more Mistaver to say that he's buried with Natsma, that he has a din of a Suffolk, that we don't have certainty. So if Shmuel is going to follow the Yachid in places where we aren't certain, this should be one such place. Fine, I'm Rabbi Yehuda. So now we're going to use this as a springboard to discuss other shitos of Rabbi Yossi and whether we paskin like Rabbi Yossi in other areas of halacha. I'm Rabbi Rav Mishmei Rav Halacha Rabbi Yossi Bandrogenis Uba Harkava. Now I'm Rabbi Rav says in the name of Rav that we paskin like Rabbi Yossi both by Androgynous, and the way it's machlokes we showed him which Rabbi Yossi, Mishnah or the Braisa, but the way Rashi says like the Mishnah, that we paskin like Rabbi Yossi of the Mishnah by Androgynous, and by Harkava, another area which we'll see in a second. Shmuel, Amr Shmuel says, Bekoshi ubekidush, that we paskin like Rabbi Yossi in two other halachas of Koshi and Kiddush. What are these halachas? So Androgynous, Hadiyaman. That Rav paskin like Rabbi Yossi by Androgynous, we just got through discussing which shita of Rabbi Yossi that's about. That's about whether an androgynous can be machil his wife Truma, whether we treat him like a zachar vaday, or we treat him like a beri b'fnei atzma. Harkava, what's the halach of Harkava? Ditznan, we have a Mishnah. Ein notin ve'in mavrichin ve'in markivin erev shvius. One is not allowed to plant, one is not allowed to bend a vine onto another, one is not allowed to graft, or bend a vine into the ground rather, nor graft one vine into another, on erev shmita, pachos mishlosh miyom fnei Rosh Hashanah, within 30 days of the beginning of the Shemitah year. And v'imnata v'hivrich v'hirkiv yakar. If a person did this within 30 days of the Shemitah year, then he needs to uproot everything that he has done. He has to uproot whatever he has planted, grafted, etc. Rabbi Yehuda omer kol harkava sheino koletes b'shloshi yamim shuveino koletes. Rabbi Yehuda says no. If it hasn't taken, if it takes 3 days for something to take root, and therefore you need, in addition to the 30 days before Rosh Hashanah, you need an additional 3 days because you can't set it up in a way where it's going to take root during the Tosefes Shvius, so you have to set it up 3 additional days in advance. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon Omrim, Shtei Shabbosos. But sometimes it's 2 weeks that it takes to be kolate, and therefore you get an additional 2 weeks. So Nachum Ram Rab Baravua says that the opinion that says shloshim holds, tzrichim shloshim v'shloshim, holds you need 30 days in addition to the Tosefes Shvius. That you have Tosefes Shvius of 30 days, plus another 30 days where it takes to be kolate. L'divri Omer Shlosha, Tzarech Shlosho Shloshim. The one that says 3 days holds that you only need to refrain from planting 3 plus 30 days before the Shemitah year. L'divri Omer Shtei Shabbosos, Tzarech Shtei Shabbosos Ushloshim. And the one that says Shtei Shabbosos would hold, you need Shtei Shabbosos and shloshim, meaning you need you need 2 weeks plus the 30 days. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Shemitah V'Yovel that someone's noteh mavruch markav erev shviyus before Rosh Hashanah mem dalid yom yikayim. As long as it's 44 days in advance, you could leave it there. But if you plant afterwards ya'akor, then you need to uproot it. So the question is, how do you cheshbin the 44 days? Do we say miktsas yom kikulo, or do we not say miktsas yom kikulo? So you would imagine that if you do say miktsas yom kikulo, you would apply it equally across all the different shitos. That if miktsas yom kikulo and you hold 30 days plus 30 days, it would be miktsas yom kikulo on day 60. If you hold miktsas yom kikulo and you hold 3 days, if you hold 3 days plus 30 days, so miktsas yom kikulo on day 33, and 2 weeks plus 30, so miktsas yom kikulo on day 44. But there's no Yehuda in the tshuva in Madura Tinyana, or Chaim Sin Pei Dalin, has a fascinating chiddush. He says we find in halacha a concept of miktsas hayom kikulo. We never find in halacha a concept of miktsas shavua kikulo. So any halacha that's formulated in terms of weeks, we wouldn't say miktsas yom kikulo. A halacha that's formulated in terms of days, we would say miktsas yom kikulo. So says the Nodeb Yehuda, if you hold it's 3 days plus 30 days, we'll say miktsas yom kikulo, because that's days. If you hold it's 30 days plus 30 days, we'll say miktsas yom kikulo, that's days. But if you hold 2 weeks plus 30 days, that we're not going to say miktsas yom kikulo, because that's a din in weeks. The Chazon Ish in Shvius, Simen Chavav, disagrees with the Nadav Yehuda. He says we say Maksiyam Kulo even on day 44. But it's a fascinating chiddush of the Nadav Yehuda based on just the formulation of the halacha. I mean, it's not just the content of the halacha, but it's the formulation of the halacha that seems to matter over here. The Aruch Haner raises a kasha over here also. According to Rashi, that the way Rashi understands this Gemara, the way we explained it, is that you have to plant in such a way where it shouldn't even take root during the Shemitah year, or even during the Tosefes Shviyas. Tosa says, nah, there's no such din that it can't take root during the Tosefes Shviyas. It's got to be this whole thing about taking root is about Arla. It's a totally different halacha. It has nothing to do with Shemitah. It's transitioning into Arla. But the way Rashi understands, the simple way that we read the Gemara, the Aruch Haner raises the question, if it can't take root during Shemitah, why are you allowed to plant when in such a way that it can take root on Shabbos? Let's say it only takes 3 days to take root. So why are you allowed to plant on Wednesday? Right, so if it's going to take 3 days, then it's going to take root on Shabbos. So he says, Lule Divrei Rashi, that it's aser for something to be kolate during Shemitah, one could have been mechalik between Shemitah and Shabbos and say the following, that by Shemitah, the Torah is makbid shetishbos ha'aretz, that the land rests, even though you're not doing anything. V'shavsa ha'aretz is what the Pasuk says. But by Shabbos, it's not a din in the land. By Shabbos, it's a din in the Gavra. And therefore, we don't care if it's kolet on Shabbos, because that's happening by itself. We only care whether you're doing malacha on Shabbos. But once Rashi says, the reason why it's lulei divrei Rashi is because once Rashi says that the din is that it can't even be kolet during Tosefes Shviyas, it's not only a din in Shviyas, it's a din in Tosefes Shviyas. Well, where do we know Tosefes Shviyas from? That's from the Pasuk B'charashu B'katzir Tishbos. That's not on the land, that's on the Gavra. So if Rashi's going to say that even during Tosefes Shviyas it can't be kolet, then we're stuck with the Kasha. Why should Shabbos be any different? Tosefes Shviyas is on the Gavra, Shabbos is on the Gavra, and yet still, by Tosefes Shviyas, he doesn't want anything to be kolet. Why is it allowed to be kolet on Shabbos? But Lule Divrei Rashi, if one wanted to hold like Tosos, one could have said that it's on Shviyas we don't want something to be kolet, because Shviyas is a din in the land, but on Shabbos we don't mind if something's being kolet, because that's not a din in the land, that's a din in the Gavra. So that's what the Aruch Haner says. This seems to be a raya to Shitas Rabbeinu Tam, that we're not worried about Kleita during Tosefes Shviyas. And the statement of the 3 days plus the 30 days, and that's all about someone who wants to count the years of Arla, that he needs 30 days in advance in order that should count as a full year. And according to Rashi, when the Torah says about Tosefes Shviyas, maybe one could justify, says the Aruch Haner, Rashi, you could answer for Rashi, that when the Torah is telling me to do Tosefes Shviyas, what's the Torah telling me? The Torah is telling me, treat these extra 30 days before Shemitah like Shemitah. So in Achinami, the way the Torah formulates a Becharish B'katzir Tishbo sounds like a din in the Gavra, but what's the din in the Gavra? The din in the Gavra is treat it like it's part of the Shemitah year itself. And the Shemitah year itself is din in the land that B'shav Sa Aretz. So maybe that's how you could answer for Rashi, why it would be that we would not want it to even be collate during Tosefes Shviyas. So that is the second place where Rav wanted a hold like Rabbi Yossi, like the Shita of Rabbi Yossi. Good. Now we move on. Shmuel Amar Bekoshi V'Kiddush. Shmuel said that we paskin like Rabbi Yossi in two other areas of halacha, in Koshi and in Kiddush. What are these areas of halacha? Koshi Ditnan Kami Yehi Kishuya. When it comes to Koshi, this is a Mishnah in Maseches Nida, where the halacha is that by Nida, on a Daraisa level, if a woman is Mekasha, a woman has labor pains and blood that comes out as a result of it, during the Yud Aleph Yom Shebe Nida Lunida, Min HaTorah, a woman who gets her regular period becomes a Nida. Nida would make her Tame for a total of 7 days, even if she bleeds for all 7 of those days, it would only make her Tame for 7 days. However, during the 11-day interval in between the periods where she's eligible to be a Nida, how to do the Cheshbon exactly is a major machlokas Rambam Ramban, and it's something that apparently they lost the ability to Cheshbon already in the days of the Amorayim, but it used to be that there was such a halacha, on a Darais level, there is such a halacha, that there are 11 days during a cycle where a woman cannot become a Nida. If she bleeds, she won't become a Nida, she'll become instead a Zava. And if she bleeds one day, she's what we call a Shomeres Yom Keneged Yom, she's tummy for that day, and she just has to make sure she doesn't bleed the next day. She bleeds for 2 days, Shomeres Yom Kenegad Yom, she's tummy for those 2 days, just has to make sure she doesn't bleed the next day. And if she bleeds for 3 days straight, then she's what we call a Zav Gadol, and she's going to require Shiva Nekiyim. What if a woman is bleeding during the Yiral of Yom Shabbat Nida Lenida, but it's blood as a result of labor that's beginning? So if it happens for 3 days, three straight days, because of the tzar of the vlad, it does not cause her to be a zava gadola. She's not going to require shiva nekiyim, and it's even if when she gives birth, we don't consider her a yoledes pizov. Rather, we say that it's leida. This is all part of the leida that's happening. So how long before the birth can we attribute the blood to the Leda, and how long do we say, how much is too long before the birth where we say, come on, this isn't Leda, this is Ziva, this is just regular blood? That's the question the Mishnah. Kami Yeheiki Shuya. How long before the birth do we say that we can still attribute it to the Leda? Rameir Omer, O Arbaim O Chamishim Yom. Either 40 or 50 days. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Daya Chadasha. Rabbi Yehuda says that just that month, that last month of pregnancy. Rabbi Yosef Shimon Omerim, Ein kisho yoser mishtei shabasos, that it's never more than shtei shabasos. So that's the sheet of Rabbi Yossi that Shmuel is paskening like, that it's never more than shtei shabasos. Now, okay, so that's the case of kishui. Kiddush ditnan, what's the case of kiddush? Hamasachich kufano al gabi tivuaso shel chavero. The case of kiddush, that Shmuel paskens like Rabbi Yossi, is if a person takes his grapevines and runs them over his friend's grain, so he's creating a situation of kilea kerem. So hareza kiddush, he's assered his friend's grain, v'chayv bachri yuso, and he has to pay his friend for ruining his grain. You took his grain, now made it asser bana. That's what Meir holds. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, Omrim. But Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon, and again, in all these cases, it's Rabbi Yossi joined up with Rabbi Shimon, and that all four of these halachas. And that's why that's why many of the Rishonim hold that when we say that Rav holds that the halachas are Rabbi Yossi, Men, and Jogunus, it means Rabbi Yossi of the Mishnah. Because it's Rabbi Yossi and the Mishnah who's teamed up with Rabbi Shimon. And that's what all four of these have in common, that it's Rabbi Yossi teaming up with Rabbi Shimon. So Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, Omrim, when you take your grapevines and run them over your friend's grain, you don't have to pay him because he didn't make it aser. One is not authorized, one is not capable of making someone else's items aser. Tosus points out, Vim Tomar, really, so if I go to my friend's chalent today, he has his chalent cooking for Shabbos, and I take some chazer schmaltz and I throw it in the chalent, so he's allowed to eat it because I don't have the ability to aser a davar she'eino shelo? What exactly are the limits of this rule of Eino Demoser? Davar she'eino shelo. Va'omri de b'davar atali b'makshavahu da'amr hachi kigon mishtachve l'behemas chaveiro. When do we say Eino Demoser davar she'eino shelo? That's when it's not just a maisa, it's about a makshava as well. That in order to create the iser, it's not just a physical reality, but there's some mental component to the creation of the iser. For example, if I come out of my house one day and I see that my next door neighbor is bowing down to my car because he treats it like an avodah zarah, he's so taken by my fancy car that he's bowing down to it, so my car doesn't become asr, it doesn't become asr mishum avodah zarah, because it doesn't belong to him, he doesn't have the right to asr it. But that's because avodah zarah only becomes asr because someone's treating it mentally like an avodah zarah, someone's viewing it like a god. It's not that you happen to be bent down in front of it. If I drop something and it lands under my car, I'll also be bowing right in front of my car, but I'm not worshipping it. So there's a clear machshava component, there's a clear mental component to the avodah zarah. So parak beis zechun da filu asa b'maisa gon sheshachta yikol mandim d'lasa v'isra klayim nami tali b'machshava. The isra of klayim is also machshava dependent. Kida amr v'sechas klayim gavei aro yarek shagia alaktenu afilu asa masayim mutar l'chsha echsa alaktenu aser. The halacha is in the Mishnayos in klayim that if a person sees klayim growing in his field from a distance and he says, oh, as soon as I get there, I'm going to rip that up because I don't want klayim growing in my field, and by the time he gets there it already grew a significant amount, it's still going to be mutter, because so long as he's not interested in keeping it growing, it won't be an isser of klayim. There's a machshava component, there's a mental approval component of klayim. Now if he says, I'm going to take care of that one day, and he procrastinates and then ultimately he gets taken care of it, then it's going to be usser, because the fact that he didn't take care of it right away as soon as he could, that shows that he was happy with it there. So it has nothing to do with physically how long it was klayim, how long there it was growing near each other. It has to do with the mental component of klayim. Tos Yishonim just adds, Odi Yishlomer, the shiny klayim, the chsubu sodcha lo sizer klayim the mashma divina shu shalom, that for an iser klayim it has to be yours also. But says Tosfos further, mitam zem farash rabbeinu tam the nakav ba'gozel nisyaish hemen of lo gadra dafka nisyaish. Rabbeinu Tam holds that if you have the following situation, you have a fence that separates your tevua from your grapes in order to avoid any kilei akerim problem. Halacha is you need to either be machrik dal ramos or a fence. You don't need to be machrik dal ramos if you have a fence. So let's say you have a fence and then the fence fell down. So if a person says that, the fence keeps falling down, forget it already, just leave it. And then it grows, and then it's going to be klein. But if a person leaves it growing, not because he gave up on it, but he said, I don't know how to build a fence, so he needs to study how to build a fence, and he needs to find out, and he's working on it, and he can't find anyone to build it, and he's the whole time he's working on trying to get a fence there, it's just taking him a while to get it done, then even though it's growing, it's not going to be a problem of klein, because there is that mental component. It's only a problem of klein if you don't want the, if you approve of the client being there. So that's when we say in the most davar sheino shlo. A person does not have the ability to ask for something that's not his when it involves some sort of when it's not a purely physical issue. Now the pashtus of the Gemara is that Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon hold that to be mechayiv the mesachich midin mazik, because he would be, if it were possible, if he would have made his grain, his friend's grain aser, then he would be chayiv midin mazik. It's only because of Eino D'Mosav Dover Sheino Shelo that he's not chayiv midin mazik. This is interesting because he's not actually doing anything to the grain. I mean, he's not physically touching the grain. He's not breaking it. He's not ruining it in any way. He's doing something near the grain that's going to make the grain halachically problematic. So apparently they would be moda that you would be chayiv on dina de garmi when something is an indirect damage. Because just like Shitas Reb Meir is mechayiv and dina de garmi throughout Shas. It's just that since over here there was no damage done because they know the most of the Shein Shalom, that's why they're going to be potter. However, the Ramban in his Kuntras dina de garmi writes that Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon are cholik on the dina de garmi, and they hold from the fact that it doesn't say he's medayik from the fact that it doesn't say that Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon poter lefi she'in adam osu davar she'ino shalom. It just says that, what does it say? That Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon omrim ein adam osu davar she'ino shalom. It doesn't say poterim lefi, that they pater only because of ein adam osu davar she'ino shalom. So the Ramban is medayik from that if they would have said that, if it would have said that, then it would be mashma that the reason for the patur is only because of ein adam osu davar she'ino shalom, and that you chayv and din de garmi. But since it said, it doesn't say potter lefi, maybe we can be medayik that even if a person would be able to be also davar she'ino shalom, Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon would still hold that he's potter because they're not dan dina de garmi. But there are mechadish over here that even the tevua, even the grain, doesn't become aser because ein adam osu davar she'ino shalom. This is a fascinating topic. To what extent we would say ein adam osu davar she'ino shalom? There is a concept in Hilchos Mukta called the basis ledavara aser. Let's say I have the tray that supports the candlesticks. So the ner is a mukta, and anything that's holding up that's underneath the ner is going to be basis ledavara aser, is going to be mukta. What if I have an item that I want to use, and someone else comes and comes along on Erev Shabbos and puts a mukta item on top of my item? So now they made my item a basis ledavara aser, or did they? Should we say, well, they don't have the right to make my thing muktzah? Ein adam osu davar she'ino shalom. How could they make my item muktzah? So the Rama writes that if a person puts davar muktzah al davar shel chaveru, in Siman Shin Test, Rama writes this, we don't say that it becomes a basa davar aser, because a person cannot be aser davar shel chaveru shalom midaito. But, says the Mishnah Brura, if he did it letovas chaveru, and mistama, it was nichale b'zem, mistama, the friend would have been happy with this. For example, someone had candles lit, and he realized that the candles were somewhat in a precarious position where it could fall and it could light the whole house on fire. So he puts a kli underneath one of the candles to catch the candle if it were to fall, and the stomach of the person would be happy with it. Well, then he does have the ability to make it muktza to be asur davar she'ino shalom. In the Sefer Minchas Shabbos, he discusses, what if a woman puts a muktza item on something that belongs to her husband? Can her husband, does a woman have the right to, do we say that they're ishto kagufo kind of thing, that whatever the woman wants, she gets to decide where to put things, even if it's, on her husband's thing? Do we say, no, they're two different people, eino demoser, davar sheino shelav. So that's an interesting discussion. They suggest that maybe yad isha kiyad baila is only lizchuso, not lichavaso. So if she's going to make something also for him by placing the muksa down, maybe that would be beyond her ability to ask it in terms of muksa. Okay, so further in the Gemara now, ibayilahu. Now we said in Amud Aleph that according to Rav, we passed like Rav Yossi in the case of Androgynous and in the case of Arkava, and according to Shmuel, we passed like Rav Yossi in the case of Koshi and the case of Kiddush. What we didn't say is, what would Rav say about the case of Koshi and the case of Kiddush, and what would Shmuel say about the case of Androgynous and the case of Harkava? So that's what the Gemara deals with now. What would Shmuel paskin about the case of Androgynous? Tashema, Damer Shmuel, the Rav Anan, less of the Brisa, Mekamim Es Nisan. Shmuel says that we should forget the Brisa in favor of the Mishnah, meaning that that Shmuel paskins like the Mishnah, like Rabbi Yossi in the Mishnah. Harkava Mali, and we're medayik from there that Shmuel holds like Rabbi Yossi, not just the Stam, that's the more authoritative version of Rabbi Yossi. So Zalman Aleph points out that Shmuel actually holds this way, that he actually holds like Rabbi Yossi. Harkava Mali, Amar Shmuel, what about the case of Harkava? Would Shmuel pass like Rabbi Yossi in that case as well? Well, Tashma, Damle Shmuel Ravanan, Tani, Kaman the Amar Shloshu Shloshim. Shmuel holds that we have to pass like the sheet that says that you're not allowed to plant 33 days in advance of Shemitah, not 44 days. So apparently he rejects Shitas Rabbi Yossi when it comes to our cover. Rabbi Yossi's Shita was Shtei Shabbosos. Koshi Mali Amarat. Now going on to what Rav says about the cases where Shmuel held like Rabbi Yossi, what would Rav hold in the case of Koshi? Teku, we don't know. Kiddush Mali Amarav. What about in assering someone else's grain as Kilei HaKerem? Would Rav hold like Rabbi Yossi that ain't on the most of Davar Sheino Shalom? Am Rav Yosef Tashema. Tam Rav Huna Amarav ain't halach Rabbi Yossi. Rav Huna says in the name of Rav, we don't pass like Rabbi Yossi. Amle Abai, Maichos de Samachta Aha, Smoch Aha, Tam Rav Ada Amarav, halach like Rabbi Yossi. Why would you rely on Rav Huna Amar Rav that the halach is not like Rabbi Yossi? Rav Ada Amar Rav says that the halach is like Rabbi Yossi. So obviously Rav's Talmidim disagreed whether Rav holds like Rabbi Yossi when it comes to asering something Mishum Kilei HaKerem. As the answers Gemara, the reason why we wanted to follow Rav Huna, not Rav Ada, Rav Huna's version of Rav, not Rav Ada's version of Rav, is that Amri Be'Rav Manu Rav Huna. The Sugya Masechta Sanhedrin, Yud Zayin and Beis, goes through a whole list of vague titles that you find throughout Shas. Amri Be'Rav, Hahu Saba, you know, all these vague titles that you find throughout Shas, so we don't know who it's talking about, and the Gemara identifies who these people are. So whenever we have Amri Bei Rav, it's not just them saying, oh, they said in the Beis Medrash. No, that's Rav Huna. Whenever it's Amri Bei Rav, it's always Rav Huna. So if Rav Huna is the Amri Bei Rav, and we're trying to figure out what would Rav say in this case, well, the whole conversation over here started with Amri Bei Rav Mishmei Derav Halach Rabbi Yossi Ma'andrognus Barakava Ushmol Amri Koshi B'Kiddush. The whole original statement of these four halachos in Amud Aleph was the Amri Bei Rav. So whose version are we going to accept of what Rav holds in terms of these four halachos? It's going to be the Amri Bei Rav. The whole kasha is only within the sheet of the Amri Bei Rav. Alternatively, one could suggest, and I didn't see it anywhere, that if Amri Bei Rav is Rav Huna, then maybe that tells you Rav Huna is the more authoritative Talmud of Rav. He's the one that knows Rav's Torah better, because he's the one that became known as the Amri Bei Rav. Maybe that tells you about his level of attention to detail in terms of Rav's shitos. But anyway, so Amri Bei Rav is Rav Huna Marein Alacha, and Rav Huna is one that says that Ein Alacha, so that's why we're gonna paskin Ein Alacha like Rav Huna's version of Rav, and not like Rav Ada's version of Rav. So the maskana of the Gemara is that the halach is not like Rabbi Yossi B'Kiddush. A person can aser davar she'eino shalo, and that's what the Rambam writes in the Perish HaMishnah, that we don't pass like Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon, and not like Rabbi Akiva. However, in Mishnah Torah, in the first paragraph of Hilchos Klayim, the Rambam says, Einon Moser Dover Shein Shalal, and that's why he paskens La Halacha in Mishneh Torah. So in the Perush of Mishnayis, he sounds like the Maskana of our Gemara. In Mishneh Torah, he says otherwise. So the Radvaz explains that in the Perush of Mishnah, he was Samech on the Machlokas in our Gemara. That it's a Machlokas between Rav and Shmuel had a paskin. Rav says not to paskin like Rabbi Yossi. Shmuel says yes to paskin like Rabbi Yossi. This is a Machlokas about Isser Veheter, and the basic rule is Hilksuk Rav B'Yisurei. So we're always going to paskin like Rav when it comes to Isser Veheter. But La Halacha, when it comes to Mishneh Torah, he was Chozer Bo, because we have a pasuk that seems to support Rabbi Yossi, since the pasuk says Lo Sizra Karmucha Klein. Sounds like Karmucha V'lo Karim Chavero, like the diuk that the Tosi Shanim pointed out. So, and furthermore, there are three Tanaim that hold that way. You have Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Akiva. You have all these Tanaim that hold that way. So that's why Mishneh Torah, he thought the better of it. What about Hilchsuk Rav B'Yisurei? Says Radvaz, a fascinating insight. Hilchsuk Rav B'Yisurei is when the machlokas originates at the level of Rav and Shmuel. But when it's a previous machlokas, Tanaim, and Rav and Shmuel just arguing which Tana to hold like, then we don't say Hilchsuk Rav B'Yisurei. So Hilchsuk Rav B'Yisurei is not going to govern this halacha. That's what the Radvaz writes. Because Mishnah says that since according to Shmuel it's obvious that halacha is like Rabbi Yossi, meaning there's no dispute what Shmuel holds. Shmuel definitely holds halacha is like Rabbi Yossi. What does Rav hold? Well, Rav Ada thinks halacha like Rabbi Yossi. Rav Huna thinks Rav holds halacha is not like Rabbi Yossi. It's a dispute within Shitas Rav. Because Mishnah says that's why the Rambam paskins like Rabbi Yossi, because definitely Shmuel holds that way, and Rav might hold that way too. So that's enough to say that the halacha is going to be like Rabbi Yossi. That is the shita of the Kesem Mishnah. Now Tos points out that when we say that Amri Be Rav is Rav Huna, that he points out that even though Amri Be Rav, the Gemara says in Masech Sanhedrin, is also Rav Hamnuna, he says that's only when Rav Huna says something in the name of Amri Be Rav. If you have Rav Huna say something in the name of Amri Be Rav, then you know that the Amri Be Rav can't be Rav Huna. So then we'll say that Amri Be Rav is Rav Hamnuna. Tos himself disagrees, says no, what the Gemara is really saying is that when you find that Rav Huna says something in the name of Amri Be Rav, it really is a typo. It should say Rav Hamnuna says something in the name of Amri Be Rav. But Amri Be Rav is always Rav Huna. There's never an exception to who the Amri Be Rav is. Okay, Vaitan Gemara. Rav Yehuda Omer Tumtum. Rav Yehuda had said in the Mishnah on Pe'alef Amud Aleph that Tumtum that's torn open and turns out to be a Zachar still can't do Chalitza because he has a din of a Sris. I'm Rabbi Ami. My avodah Rabbi Yehuda l'tumtum debiri do svua bekrusaya v'ikra va'olat sheva benin. What's he going to say? He's going to say every tumtum is a sris. What's he going to say about the tumtum that they ripped open and he turned out to be a zachar and then he had a family with seven children? So he said, what will he say? Rabbi Yehuda amalei chazal bana me'ayin him. You should go see who the father of his children are because it's not him. So that's what he would say about such a tumtum. Tanya, Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda omer tumtum lo yachlot shem yikra v'im sris chama. That Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda says the tumtum cannot do chalitza because you might tear him open and it'll turn out that he's a Sris Chama, that he's a Sris, Atu Kolim Akreya Zach Ravi. How do you know he's even going to be a boy that you're going to say that you rip him up, maybe he'll be a Sris? Now, Hachi Kamer, Shema Yikrav Nimtza Nekeva. First of all, he might be a Nekeva, so that's one reason why he can't do Chalitza. Vafila Nimtza Zachar, and even if he's a male, Shema Yimtza Sris Chama, he might be a Sris Chama. My Benayhu, what's the nafkamina between these formulations of Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda himself? Amarava lifsol b'makom achin. The nafkamina would be if there are other brothers aside from this tumtum, and the tumtum does chalitza, so does that ruin the other brother's chances of doing yibum? That's the issue. If you say that he's a sris vadai, so then his chalitza was absolutely worthless, the other brothers could still do yibum. But if he's only a suffix sris, then we have to be choshesh as chalitza meant something, and therefore the other brothers are not going to be able to yibum. And the other nafkamina is v'lachlot shelo b'makom achim ikabinayu. If there's no other brother, and should we be machmir and have him do a chalitza? If he's a suffix zachar, yeah, probably have him be machmir and do a chalitza. But if he's vaday nale, if he's vaday a sris and there's nothing to talk about, so then don't have him do a chalitza. It's worthless. Amr Shmuel bar Yehuda, Amr Rabbi Abba, Achud Rabbi Yehuda bar Zivdi, Amr Rabbi Yehuda, Amr Rab. Androgynous chayev lo skila mishtei makomos. One is chayev skila for sleeping with an androgynous, whether one had bia with his male parts or with his female parts. Meisve, Rabbi Lozer, Amr androgynous chayev lo skila kibazachar. Rabbi Lozer says that an androgynous chayev skila like a male. Sounds like by medvar mamurim bezachra shalo, avol benachra shalo pater. Sounds like one is only chayev if sleeping with him as a male, not as a female. And so Gemara, Hudi Amr kei tana. He's assuming like the following tana. Rabbi Simai Yomer, androgynous chayev lo skila mishtei makomos. It's a machlokes tanaim whether an androgynous is only that your one is only chayiv for sleeping with him like a male or also like a female. My time is Rabbi Simai. Amarav Baramduri Azbrali Vezakha Latishkav Mishkevei Isha. It sounds like it's describing multiple mishkavos. Ezu Zakhar Shishba Shnei Mishkavos. Haviyam is an androgynous. Who's a Zakhar that has multiple mishkavos? That's an androgynous. Rabban and Avakav Dispe Shnei Mishkavos as Zakhar Ksiv. Even though it has Shnei Mishkavos, but it says as Zakhar. Rabbanan Zakhar Greda Minalahu. And how are the Rabbanan going to know that that just sleeping with a regular male is a violation? So mi ve'es isha. They darshan from ve'es isha. Bisha Shalokadarka Minalahu. How are the Rabbanan going to know that Bia Shalokadarka with a woman is considered Bia, halachically counts as Bia? Maybe Isha. They learn that from Isha. Amrav Shizvi, Amrav Chista, Lolokol Amrav Lazar and Jogan Zakhar Malihu. Shema Tomer Kain Bumuktash and Yikdash. We don't say for all halachos that an androgynous is Zakhar, because if he were, then you should be able to make an androgynous behema into Hegdish. Uminala de lo kaddish. How do we know that you can't? Ditan Rabbanan Hanirva Vamuksa Vahanevad Ve'eslan Umchir Vetumtum Ve'androgynous. You know what? This is going to take us a while to explain. So Be'ez Hashem will pick up tomorrow with explaining why an androgynous can or cannot be hegdish.